some of the stars through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Welcome back, everybody, to the final week of Rated G Radio for 2015. I did not think it was possible for 50 weeks to go by as quickly as they have, but they've flown by. It just seemed like this time last year was like, I have no idea what we're going to do for 2015, but I'm going to cross my fingers and, you know, cross my fingers, arms, legs, toes, and eyes, and we'll just see where it goes. And the show has just kind of skyrocketed this year. We're on two new networks in the UK, Chat and Spin Radio, Westar Radio in, you know, both in the UK. I want to say hi to everybody over there. We've had guests from all over the world be with us, and I just don't even – I'm a little verklempt talking to you guys tonight, but want to thank each and every one of you. If you've been a guest, thank you. If you're a new listener, thank you for being here. And if you've been with us since the start back in 2012, thank you for being part of the show. I want to give big shout-outs to everybody that has been involved this incredible year, but I think we're going to have to save part of that for the Friday show as we get ready to wrap up. Here's where we're going for the course of the week so you know what's going on. Tonight, we have Mr. Gary Blumsack. He's with the American Theater Channel. It's something new. It's something exciting, and I can't wait to have him on. We're going to bring him on in just a second or two, and we're going to talk to Gary for the full hour. We're so excited to have him on. Tomorrow night, I can't believe I'm doing this on the last week of the year, but I'm not doing a show. I got invited to Mr. Mark Sevey's screenwriting production Christmas something or other, and he is the head of the OC Screenwriters group that I attend every so often, not as often as I should, but Mark has extended the invitation to have me join their group tomorrow night, so I'm going to do that and look forward to being part of that. So instead of scurrying around trying to arrange the show for an earlier hour of the day, I'm just going to bypass tomorrow. I'll make it up to you. We're going to do a Christmas show. Shh, don't tell anybody. Wednesday, we're going to have Rebecca Fisk on. We're doing the show early at 9 a.m. You ask, why are you going on at 9 a.m. when Rebecca's usually on at 7 o'clock at night at the usual time? Well, for the second time in 2 weeks, I've been asked to go back up to LA Talk Radio and be part of the Sheena McMittal show. So you'll hear me live on Wednesday night from 5 to 7 p.m. on LA Talk Radio. That will be fun. We're going to be talking about my Christmas music and so much more. Thursday, it turns into the last episode of Super Gay Radio for the year with Mr. Rob Watson. Rob is actually going to be joining me next year. Every Thursday night, we're going to turn Rated G Radio into Rated LGBT Radio, and we're going to talk about issues affecting the LGBT community. So tune in for that. And then Friday this week, we've got the second annual Miles High Productions Miles High Holiday. We're going to have people like Bunny Sigler. He's a multi-Grammy winner, Margot Ray, and lots of other guests call in for very special appearances this Friday at a special start time of 11 a.m. But of course, set your clocks for whatever time works for you. Click the play button, and it will be just like we've started the show just for you. It's going to be really exciting. And again, we'll have more shout-outs as we go on throughout the course of the week. But tonight, as I always like to say, without further ado, it's my pleasure and honor to welcome Gary Blumsack to the show. American Theater Channel is the topic of the night, but we're going to talk about so much more. We might have to do like part two and through 17 or something in the new year. But Gary, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you, Garrett. Thank you. Great to be on.
I'm kind of surprised. You're in L.A., and I don't know you yet, or I haven't shaken your hand and asked you to go out for a leaf of lettuce and split a cup of drought water with me, but
yeah.
We'll have that remedied soon. But
there's no more lettuce. We know that.
What are we going to eat? We'll have a split.
We're gonna figure it out. We're going to figure it out because it's a little broken right now.
A little broken. But during the holiday.
Well, have you ever been? You never made it to the theaters. I opened the Hudson Theater and the Lillian Theater and the Hayworth Theater. So there's quite a few theaters, and if you made it by any of those, I was there.
I have not. I will tell you, in my short time that I've been in the L.A. market, I have been to live theater one time, and I've been to live theater twice because I saw the same show two times. But it's one of my absolute loves when I go see a live show and you just see everything that's actually taking place live. It's not, you know, okay, cut, we need to shoot that over again, and you see just amazing talent. And so I think that's one of the reasons I'm so thrilled that you've taken time out of your schedule, Gary, is because you're going to talk to us about what you're doing in the Los Angeles community for theater and, you know, all of that good stuff. So thank you for doing that. You could have been
You're
doing
welcome.
So many other things tonight, and you're here. Also, I also want to thank Kelly for arranging this, because I know that Kelly was instrumental in getting us connected. So thank you, Kelly, for making the connection tonight. So, Gary, can you do me a favor as we get started here? And I need to tell you, I have not even had any caffeine, and I feel caffeinated with you here. So this
yeah.
is a good sign. Who are you? Tell us about yourself. Where did you grow up? How did you end up
oh
out
my
in
God.
LA?
You know. Who am I? You know, I've been trying to figure that out for years. I come from Boston, Massachusetts.
Yay.
Yeah. If it wasn't for us, we'd all be talking with a British accent and wearing red.
Yeah.
I've been doing theater since forever. I mean, the first show I did was The Wizard of Oz when I was 11 on my street so I could play the Scarecrow. And that's how I remember wanting to do it. Everybody else growing up wanted to be a fireman or a doctor, and I wanted to be a star. That's how we say it in Boston, a star.
Star.
And my parents would be like, oh, okay, good, that's good. All right, maybe next, you know.
Yeah.
And went on with Boston Repertory Theater and with a young man called David Morse, and I started together there, who went on to become one of our great American actors. And went from Boston Rep to New York, and from New York to Arena Stage in Washington, D.C., and stayed part of that rep company for a while, and then back to New York with La Mama. And then I produced a bunch of stuff, and then I went into television, and I did TV, and I did series work on TV, and I was, I call it an irregular, on L.A. Law, and I did 3 seasons of that. And then all kinds of other things. And then eventually I had children, Jackie and Harry. I have to do that because they'll be listening. And that was my life. I said, I've got to get a real job. So I went into theater thinking that was a real job. It wasn't. And that's what it's been so far. And I've done a great deal of work in the community of L.A. and in New York. And I'm here today in doing American Theater Channel.
I love it. So I know you said you started out wanting to be the Scarecrow at age 11. When did you wake up and just say, you know what, this is what I want to do, and this is what's going to make me happy in life? I mean, was there a show? Did you have, you know, other people in your life?
When I was a little kid, my mom used to take me to the North Shore Music Circus in Beverly, Mass. And I used to see the shows, and I was like, oh, my God, this is so cool. I have to do this one day. And I got the bug really early, and I don't think I've ever changed. I've been on this course forever. Once I wanted to be a veterinarian. It was for like an hour. I wanted to be a veterinarian. And I was like, yeah. Then I actually saw my brother's friend who was in veterinarian school, and I saw what he had to do to a cow, and I was like, yeah, no, I'm done. I'm good. That's good. I don't need that. You know. And so the bug has always been there. I've never not had the bug. I wish I could tell you, oh, I wanted to be a doctor. I wanted to be.
Right,
I always wanted to do this. This was always my love. And I've done it for a lot of years now, a lot of years. And the performing arts is the place where you go because you're insane and you have a love for it, because the chances of making money are slim to none. You know, I think it's 2% work in the business and earn a living. So it's a difficult road. It's a very difficult road, but it's fascinating. And I love it. And I love being able to, you know, create projects that the public sees and enjoys. And I've been doing that for a long time, and I've, you know, garnered a pretty good reputation doing it. Serious to funny work, you know. And I've been blessed to work with some incredible people. And
you have a whole list of folks that you've worked with that people listening tonight will just go like, holy cow, who are some of your favorites?
Oh my God. I think the very top of the list is a man named Paul Mazursky.
Yep.
Great man. And Paul Mazursky, if you don't know who he is, which I'm sure you do, did one of his first movies was Bob Carroll, Ted and Alice.
Right.
And then he went on to do Harry and Tonto and The Tempest and Down and Out in Beverly Hills and Moscow on the Hudson, and it goes on and on. He's a 5-time Academy Award nominee and won for Harry and Tonto with Art Carney. And he was brilliant. He was brilliant, and he directed 4 plays for me. And the first time that I ever met him, I was standing in the theater, and he just walked in and came down the aisle and said, "Cohen says to Schwartz, sorry about the fire," and Schwartz says, "Shh, tomorrow." So that was my introduction to Paul Mazursky. And then I also got to meet Mel Brooks many times because it's Paul's best friend.
How cool is it? So
it was very cool. It was very cool.
Now, do you ever have you ever had, you know, being in the business, you know, forever and a day, you know, you probably meet everybody,
yeah,
and, you know, you're very cool. But have you ever had one of those moments where you've met somebody and they've kind of either taken your breath away or just kind of had you? Okay.
Yep. Yeah. And that's the story. I did a play with Paul Benedictor and Francis Fisher, who I'm sure you know them both.
Sure.
And
yeah.
I directed it, and we got a call one day, and this man got on the phone with me and said, "Listen, Barbara wants to come and see your play, Babs." And I'm like, "Okay,
that's all you got to say." You know.
That's all you got to say. And I was, he said, "We represent Barbara Streisand," and I was like, "Yeah, okay, come on, buddy, this is a prank call." And sure enough, he said, "One of the things you need to do is make sure the audience is already in, because when she shows up at a place, it's kind of like the Beatles showing up."
Right.
"And people tend to get really crazy around her. So if you could have the whole audience in, that would be great. And then bring her to her seat." And I was like, great. So I waited out front of the theater. This was at the Hayworth. And I waited out in front of the theater, and I see this Range Rover pull up, and she was with her son that she had with Elliot Gould. And of course the audience was not in yet. And I went running into the parking lot and went, "I am so, listen, I mean, can you come in a little later?" And she goes, "Oh boy, did they tell you that you had to come in because of the audience?" I said, "Yeah." And she says, "Don't worry about it, honey. Don't worry about it." She was so cool. She was so incredibly cool. And she got to see the show. And then at the end, she said, "Would you mind if I spoke to the actors?" And I was like, "Yeah. No, I think we could arrange that. No problem."
Sure. Yeah.
And so that was my breath moment. I was blown away.
So,
I was blown away that Barbara Streisand was in my theater.
I think that's a great story. And do you have any plans to do like a memoir, you know, later in life, you know, part 1, 2, and 3?
Yeah, later in life, wouldn't that be nifty? I mean, if somebody's going to buy it, I'd be glad to do it. But yeah, I think one of the very great parts of that is my daughter came. She was little then, and and then all these people came that wanted to come and see it, and I said to everybody, you know, you can come. They just wanted to be in the theater with Barbara. And I said, but don't bother. Really try to. And I had probably 20, 25 people that came just to be in the theater with her. And nobody bothered her. Nobody. Everybody left. Nobody ever bothered her. Nobody ever went up and asked for anything. And I was standing in the doorway, and it was just Barbara and her son sitting in the theater waiting for the actors. And my daughter was standing next to me, and out of nowhere, my daughter goes, "Which one is she?" Really loud. And I was like, "Oh God, oh God, oh God." So anyway, that was the story. So, and then Barbara just smiled and gave a wink, and I pointed, you know, rather.
Isn't that cute, though? I mean, that just like, it brings it home.
Yeah, well, she was just, you know, she didn't, you know, she did the same thing with Rob Reiner. She was running the box office. She was about 11 years old, and he didn't have an ID on him, and she wouldn't let him in. She was like, "I'm sorry, you can't. She wouldn't take the ticket because he didn't. She wouldn't take his credit card because he didn't have an ID. That's what happened. And I had to come out, and there's Rob Reiner standing there, and I was like, "I'm so sorry. She's 11. You know, she's really good at math, but obviously not doing too well with people." So
that's okay. She keeps you in the black for your shows. You know,
she kept me
I love
in the black.
That.
She was very good. Yeah, she would not take his credit card because he didn't have an ID.
So now, since Jackie worked the box office there, what did Harry do? Did you have him?
Harry was my house manager. He sat all the. I had several really successful shows. But one of the most successful was a play about John Lennon called Imagine, and the place used to be insane. It used to be crazy. I just got a text from Paul, actually, at that moment.
Right on.
Not Mazursky. He's gone, unfortunately.
That would have been really remarkable, right?
Yeah, I know. That would have been that we would have had to stop everything right now and call TMZ.
Yeah.
Harry used to do all the house managing, and I'm talking, you know, like 200 and some odd people a night, and he just would handle it really well. Yeah. That was a pretty busy show. That was one of our most successful shows. That and Silence, the musical, a play about a musical based on Silence of the Lambs.
Well, you know, but as one would do, you know, I would love that. So since you've done you're really spending most of your career in the theater, which I think is absolutely awesome. But you mentioned that, you know, you've done a lot of TV, you know, over the years.
Yeah.
Because they're really two completely different animals. So. Did you have a moment when you were doing TV when you said, you know what, I just think I need to go back to theater?
No, I actually said, boy, I'd really like to do more TV. I was doing my first episode of L.A. Law, and I finished my scene. It was a scene with Corbin Berenson. And I finished my scene, and the director said, do you want to do it again? And I was like, what? And she said, would you like to do it again? And I went, you can do this twice? You can just do it again? And she was like, yeah. I said, you mean again, like do the same thing that I just did again? And she's like, yeah, you can do it again. And that's when I was like, because theater used to scare the hell out of me, because when you go up, you're gone. That's it. It's you and them, and they're looking at you, and you don't know where you're going. And, you know, so that was the important that's what was important about it at the time. That was the important part was, to me, that I could do it again. You know, it was so unlike theater. You can just, you can, like, mess up and just do it again. And they were like, yeah. And I was like, wow. And when I said that, she actually looked at me and said, you do theater, don't you? And I was like, yeah. She was like, yep. Yeah, I could tell. She said that do it again thing was a giveaway.
The do it again. I love that. Yeah. So now what has changed for you over the years since, you know, your bright and shiny little 11-year-old scarecrow, you know, to today, from, you know, just your process to the way the industry works? Have you seen, you know, how has it impacted what you do?
Say one more time. I got clicked in. Something just happened on my phone.
How have things changed for you from the time that you're 11 until today? And I mean, outside of the obvious, you know, you grew up and you had a family and that type of thing. But as far as how the business has worked and how the industry has changed and, you know, how you're part of it.
Wow. I mean, the industry, in the television industry and the film industry and the commercial industry, which I used to do commercials and I would do all that stuff, you know. And they used to say that if you got one out of 60 calls, you know, if you went out 60 times and you booked one, you were doing well.
Wow.
Now it's something like, you know, probably 3,000. You know,
goodness gracious.
It's insane. It's gone completely. You would think that there's more television stations, there's more ways to communicate, there's more ways to blah, blah, blah. You think there would be actually more work. There's actually, in a way, less work. It's very funny. It's become it's oddly set in occasionally my partners will be writing stuff for me on paper, like he's doing now. Don't forget to tell him about the dog.
And that's Silent Todd, right?
Oh, he's going to call in? Okay, here we go. I'm good.
There we go. Right on.
I have a whole thing happening here on the floor. You know,
I love it.
They're holding up cue cards and going, don't forget to talk about me. You know.
Who's holding up the cue cards? We need to know about
them. That's Todd, who you talked to before. Remember Todd, Silent Todd?
Silent Todd, right.
Silent Todd is holding up the cue. No, he's just, I said, be here in case I start to. You're one of the few people that said if you talk too much, if you think you're talking too much, you're doing well.
Right.
Everybody always tries to get me to talk less, and you're like the only person. You're like Uncle Gary now, you know, the
exactly.
guy who said, no, come on and just talk until you die, buddy.
Well, I think the thing that I like to do on the show is just, like, get to know the guests. And I think I say regular shows because, you know, I'm Abby Normal here. But I think regular radio shows, you know, 7 minutes to get, you know, your 3 points across, and then you got to be in and out. And at the end of that 7 minutes, hopefully you've made some type of an impact. And here
right.
it's like, well, I want to hear all the dirt or as much dirt as we can squeeze in an hour, which usually is not even scratching the surface. So let's do that. So big stories are great. So Todd, tell him to tell longer stories.
Tell longer stories is what he's saying to me, Todd.
Yeah.
That's not a problem.
Hey, so if we want Paul to call in, he's there. So, you know, if you happen to want to talk to one of probably, to me, not that he's just one of my close friends, but absolutely one of the greatest actors in our business today.
At 323-657-1493 and presses 1 on his keypad, I think it would be...
323, wait a minute, I don't have that. Hold on, Todd's going to... Can you listen on that, buddy? 323 what?
657.
657?
1493.
1493, press 1.
Press 1.
Tell him to call in anytime.
Tell stories about you.
And tell him to tell stories about he'll. That's where I have to be careful. I've known him for way too long for him to tell stories about me. There's a great story. Paul and I were watching a reading with Charles Durning.
Amazing.
And you must know Charlie Durning was just,
absolutely.
Again, one of our renowned actors of all time. And he was doing a reading with Michael Urie and Jessica Chastain.
Yeah,
they were the two on stage. I used to do a celebrity reading series, which we will do on American Theater Channel. But we had this night, and this happened to be the play, and Charlie was doing it. Wendy Malick, they were playing the adults in the play, and then Michael Urie and Jessica. And Paul and I were watching Charlie, and he was just so good. But what we were watching is when he wasn't doing his lines, his eyes were closed. He was sleeping. It appeared that he was sleeping. So afterwards, we went up to him and we said, what did you think of the kid? What did you think of the two kids you were working with? He said, when I was awake, they were good. So there's that. We were just watching this man who was so profoundly adept at doing acting that he could actually snooze and then come into the scene. So that was just a moment where Paul and I were like little kids watching a master of the craft.
Yeah, exactly. It's like I'm actually sitting here watching somebody do this, and they can do it in their sleep. This is pretty amazing.
They can, and that was no joke. He literally could. When he said to us, when I was awake, they were good, I was like, wow, that's wow.
So you've had, by the way, for everybody who's listening, we're going to take a break about 7:30. So we've got about 8 minutes before we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll come back and talk more with Gary. So we've got some time. When we come back from break, I want to talk all about American Theater Channel and all of the cool stuff there. So we've got a few minutes left to talk about, well, we'll talk more about whatever later too, but we've got a few minutes left to talk about the whole range of things that you've done in the theater. You've been a producer, you've been a director, you've been an actor.
I've been an actor. Do you want me to go into that a little bit?
Yeah, I've done it all.
What
precipitated the fact that you wanted to do it all? Because usually it's
I've got to say it's very L.A. to be a producing artistic director. It is almost a term that came out of the Los Angeles theater community. And what it was is actors who went out and found the money and produced a show and in some cases directed it and in some cases acted in it. And it was really, that's really where it came from. I mean, I'd like to say that it was just this, you know, thought I had, but it came from this particular form of theater that we have in L.A., and so many actors were doing so much work and then running out and finding the money and coming in and producing it and directing it and acting in it, so eventually become this person called a producing artistic director. And I'm pretty sure it's a title only in L.A. I'm almost positive about that. I don't think it's anywhere else. There's artistic directors, there's producing directors, but there's not a producing artistic director.
Is that primarily because it is so expensive to make things happen here, or why is it
actually, you know, it's both, both, I mean, both both are true, but it's not, it's expensive unless you own the theater. You know,
okay.
Then you can do a lot more stuff and you can get other people to pay for it. And that happened a great deal. I made that happen very often, that I would, you know, get somebody excited and pretty soon they were bringing in money. I was also very fortunate to have a very close friend. His name is Clint Mitchell, and he's one of the partners at WME. And he and I met when I did a play called Reefer Madness, the musical Reefer Madness, which became a Showtime movie. And,
right. That's where I've seen that. Then I've seen the Showtime.
Yeah, you saw it on Showtime.
There we go.
Yep. And he and I became friends, and he would bring me. Without him, I don't think I would have gotten as far as I got and met the people that I met. He really became not just a friend, but like a muse, you know, and allowed me to get to people and places and properties I couldn't get my hands on normally. And that was great. That was an important piece of my life.
He's like an angel investor almost.
He would bring the people. He would bring the people to me.
Right.
You know, he would just bring the people to me, and I got to work with the Niederlander organization, Jimmy Niederlander. You probably, if you don't know theater, you may not know who he is, but they own the Greek. They own the Pantages. Hello.
Wow.
You know,
all
exactly
the biggies.
Heighten. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I have a tent. That's pretty much the bottom line. So they're, you know, I got to work with these guys, and I got to, and they got to invest in plays, and I got some great properties that came through William Morris at the time, and now WME, it's called now William Morris Endeavor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so I was fortunate. I was just fortunate. We just became fast friends, and we became best friends, by the way. We met him one time. I don't know what I can, how, what words I can use, what language I can use on this radio show. It's rated G, so I want
well, the
G is
for Garrett, so, because I wasn't original enough to think of anything else. So if you want to swear, you can. I don't, because I just sound like I have Tourette's, and I go F if I get on.
Oh, okay, I got it. Well, so, there was just a moment where we were out eating, and there was a whole bunch of us, the whole cast of Reefer Madness was around, and one of the investors was going off, and he was quite drunk and quite loud. And the lady who we were sort of talking to about investing with us was very demure and very quiet and very genteel. And this guy was just going on, and all of a sudden I heard this voice from out of nowhere go, "Jimmy, shut the fuck up." I mean, out of nowhere, and I was like, oh, my God, where did that happen? And then I realized it was Clint. He was literally at the other end of the table, and then we were walking out, and I said, was that you who told him to shut up? And he goes, yeah, and I go, we're going to work together. And that's how it started. That is literally how it started. Nobody knew what to do. Everybody was so quiet because this man had so much money and so much power.
Yeah.
You know, so they didn't want to tell him to be quiet, but he was babbling. Nobody knew what he was talking about. So Clint just told him to shut up.
Sometimes
that's how that started.
I love it.
Now I'm not sure whether we're going to break or not. I don't know.
Yeah, let's do break now. So we'll come back and
okay.
If Paul wants to call in, that's great. If not,
yeah,
I have
Paulie's
about a million.
Paulie's going to call in. Is Paulie going to call in? Okay. I'm getting. I have.
We're going to get a yes. So that's great. So here's a little note from It Matters Radio, and then we'll hear from Rainbow Brew out of Minneapolis, St. Paul. We'll be back in two
and
a half.
But I'll just put it on. All right, I'll just wait and listen. Thank you.
Welcome to our discussion of It Matters Radio. Our guest today is Angus McWilliams.
Hey, laddie, let's get on with this thing. I'm on my way to a birthday party for Nessie.
You're throwing a birthday party for the Loch Ness Monster?
Well, first of all, it's not a monster. And second of all, I'm talking about niece Nessie. She's a wee bit of a lovely lass.
I see. Well, okay. Angus, can you give us your thoughts on It Matters Radio?
Aye, wonderful people. They had me on a while back to talk about my book.
Your what?
My book. I wrote a book about the adventures in Scotland.
Oh, I see. A book.
That's what I just said. What are you, a duff man?
It Matters Radio focuses on discovering new talent and bringing important indie artists on the air. Monica, Kenneth, and Carrie offer up meaningful conversation on new music, books, and fun topics. It's unlike any other radio program known to man and woman alike.
You can say that again.
Known to man and woman alike.
Just because I said you can say it again doesn't mean you have to say it again.
I'm just doing my best to show everyone that It Matters Radio basically brings variety, fun, and entertainment with a sincere desire to discover new topics and talent.
Oh, why didn't you just say that?
I just did.
Hey, Letty, remind me when I can listen.
It Matters Radio is on every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific.
You Americans with your different time zones. We only have one time zone in Scotland.
And that would be...
That would be the time to down a pint or two of ale.
It Matters Radio, for the best in conversation, music, books, and entertainment. Join us Thursday evenings at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. Discover the depth, diversity, meaningfulness, caring, guest-focused, friendly, enjoyable atmosphere of It Matters Radio with Ken, Monica, and Carrie.
That's a mouthful if I ever heard one.
Yes, and I'm going to go brush my teeth now. It Matters Radio.
When it comes to coffee, freshness is queen. That's why Rainbow Brew believes you should have the freshest coffee, roasted to order in small batches and delivered to your door within a couple days. Whether you're purchasing for a coffee shop, restaurant, or home, Rainbow Brew is your one-stop shop for fair trade and organic coffee. Offering many unique blends, including AM950's own Blue State blend. That's Rainbow Brew, the Queen Bean, a proud sponsor of the Morning Grind. Online at rainbowbrew.com. Brew something good today.
I love coffee, and I also love Rainbow Brew. When they approached me about doing a little sponsorship here on the program, I said, you've got to be kidding. Why would we want to have coffee out of Minneapolis, St. Paul here on the show, because everybody knows you don't go coffee beans out of, you know, the frozen tundra. And so they sent me some and I went, well, you've proved your point. So let's have you on the show. So if you go to rainbowbrew.com, go to their Facebook page, you like their page, they've got specials, you get dollars off. But if you place your order online and tell them you heard them here on Rated G Radio, they will actually do a happy dance in their coffee shop before grinding your beans, putting them in the post office, and sending them out same day. So tell them all that you have heard them here on the show. So we're talking tonight with Gary Blumsack. He's with the American Theater Channel. He's an accomplished actor, producer, director, and all of the above, and he's joining us now. And Gary, I want to say thanks again for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk
about your pet project. This has been terrific. I've had a good time.
Well, good. So we've got a half of a good time left for you with this hour-long show tonight, and you are here to talk about the American Theater Channel. The American Theater Channel?
The American Theater Channel. Our tagline is, now everyone has the best seat in the house. And if you want to know what American Theater Channel is, you can go to americantheaterchannel.com, and you can read all about us.
And by the way,
that will tell you a little something.
Listening on the show, there's also a link on the show page, so I've made it really easy. So if people just want to click the word that says here, check out American Theater Channel here. You click the here, and it's going to take you right to the website. So we'll make
it
really easy.
There you go. And then sign up and be on our newsletter, and we'll get to you and tell you all the coming events that are going to happen. We are brand new, and we're coming onto the scene next year, and that'll be our launch, and we're excited. And it really came to my brain in 1978. I did my first play called Indian Wants the Bronx by Israel Horovitz. I had done the play at the Charles Playhouse in Boston, and Israel Horovitz said in the Boston Globe that it was the most exciting and faithful production since the original Obie Award winner, which had Al Pacino and John Cazale in it.
Wow.
So that was pretty darn good. We were like, whoa, really? So I went to him and said, can we shoot this? And he went, absolutely. So we shot it, and then we took all our rent money and put it in, and we shot this play. And I said, well, we're ready to show it. And he said, no, Sean Penn's going to do the play, so you can't show it. I said, well, tell me that before I get a park bench to live on now, you know.
Yeah.
So, but that was the first time that I had the idea. And then the other was for people who always said this one line, which is, oh, I didn't get to see that. I didn't have time. I wish I had seen that play. And I once said to myself, wouldn't it be great if we could record these plays on video, at the time video, you know, and that will never happen again. People will never say that again. And that's my hope. My hope is that we will, you know, capture the live performance which we plan on doing. And our method is that we rehearse it for a month, and we rehearse for 4 weeks, and we shoot for four nights, Thursday through Sunday, and then we take the best out of those four nights, and we edit it. And that's Todd's bailiwick. He is a brilliant editor, and he's in charge of our post. And we have some other amazing people. Michael Sloan is one of my executive producers, and he had a movie come out this year called The Equalizer with Denzel Washington. And
right,
and a guy named Joe Stern will be working with us, and he was executive producer of Law and Order for many years in a play called, in a series called Judging Amy. And he has a great theater on Melrose called The Matrix. And that's what we're doing. And we're trying to bring theater to people in their homes. And right now, if you want to go see a Broadway play, it can cost you. I mean, if you want to go see Book of Mormon, by the time you got two tickets, parked your car, ate dinner, drove in and paid for gas, you're up about $800.
Yeah, and
you know,
conservatively.
So for us, it's and it's all original programming, which is going to be what's exciting, you know. So a lot of what you will see with us, you will have never seen before.
Gary,
off Broadway and off Broadway and regional and intimate theaters,
and a lot of
reality shows.
Gary, we're going to, I'm going to interrupt you here. We've got a special VIP caller calling in just for you right now.
Who's that?
I think it's going to be Mr. Paul. Paul?
Mr. Paul?
Just showed up. Here I am.
Well, there
Welcome
he is.
Welcome to the show.
He was going to go out for sushi. I don't know what happened.
I'm going to go, but I'm waiting to talk to you on this radio program. It's Paul Benvictor. Yeah. How you doing, everybody?
Hi, Paul. I'm doing great. Glad to have you here. So, Paul, tell us a war story about Gary.
Okay.
When he ran up and down Hollywood Boulevard naked and streaking, that one?
That one I got arrested for, so that was...
No, I'm kidding. Did you really? I made that up, but he probably did it.
Gary's
one of the most brilliant directors I've ever worked with on stage. He's a theater director, and he's been a fixture in L.A. for many years, directing and producing plays. Everybody knows him, and you couldn't find a more perfect person to make this thing happen. So somehow I may be a part of this at some point. We've read some plays that Gary's talking about producing, so we're here to support him.
Right on. Paul, now you also have something else that's coming up in 2016. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about your hot new project?
Are you talking about vinyl?
Yeah.
You're talking about vinyl.
Vinyl. It's on HBO. It's Scorsese and Mick Jagger producing and presenting a new show called Vinyl, which is kind of the early days of rock and roll. Actually, yeah, around the 60s and 70s. Sex, drugs, rock and roll. It's HBO all day long. It's very exciting. Bobby Cannavale stars in it, and we're all really pretty hyped up about it.
Do you know when that premieres?
It premieres, I believe, February 14th through 16th.
Cool. Right on.
Yeah.
Right on.
So it's going to be a big deal. So we're looking forward to that.
I love hearing that, Paul. Gary, anything that you'd like to ask Paul while we've got him on the hot seat here?
Just to bring some sushi to the house afterwards. There are a few actors in my life that I work with that you have to say very little to on the stage, and he's one of those. And I got to say it, buddy, not just because he's a friend and he's been there, but this is one of our premier actors in the business.
He's done so much,
and you've seen him in so much, and, you know, from The Wire to True Detective to now coming out Vinyl and many, many other things. And I'll tell you, it's not only he himself, but he's brought people to the stage, and he opened up my world to a bunch of other actors that I would not necessarily been able to be in contact with, and he brought them and was always there. And, you know, we pay really well. Wendy Malick once said, working for Gary Blumsack is like giving blood. You feel good and you get a cookie. So it's not like we pay a lot, you know, so they do it for the love of theater, and that is, and my friend has been there for me every time, and as he is right now.
Yep, we've done a lot of plays there, a lot of plays, a lot of reading. So we're looking forward to this theater channel, which Gary's been working on for at least a decade, so we're excited about it.
Oh, at least a decade, yeah. I think it was called Stage TV at the beginning. But, you know, we're pushing hard, and this is going to be big for us. This is, you know, for me, it's like creating Sundance. You know, it's the Sundance for theater. You know, it's the, you know, it's how we want to create works that you wouldn't normally see is what Sundance did. They took these very indie films and made them accessible. And that's what we're going to do with American Theater Channel is take plays. Paul's mom is an amazing playwright, and I don't say that lightly. I mean an amazing playwright. And I will, you know, definitely be doing her stuff. We've done a few of her readings and stuff. So it's – and Paul himself wrote a play.
There we go.
What's the name of it now, That Little Jew Girl?
I think it's called This Little Jew Girl. It used to be called The Good Steno, but it's about a little Jewish girl who says that in the play. So it's a little provocative, and we like to turn some heads with that title. So,
we did the play, and it was one of our more successful plays. The place was packed. The fun part was Paul was the actor in it, but every night just before the play, he would be out in the audience going, did we get everybody in? Did we get everybody in? Get that guy a seat. Get an extra chair. This is before he goes on to be an actor. So, you know. It's a good run. We have a good time doing it. We have a great time. And a play that I did with Paul and Francis was called Sexy
Francis
Laundry.
Fisher.
Francis Fisher.
Yeah.
And I should have said that. Sexy Laundry. And I told him about the night that Barbara Streisand came, Paulie. And
You've been on. You guys have been talking
could
for a while.
Meet the actors. Oh. Remember that? Huh?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. I mean,
well,
you know, Babs is asking us if it would be okay if the actors would come and talk to her. I'm like, yeah, I think they'll do that. You know,
that was sweet. Yeah, she was very nice.
And she was very nice. She was. She was really, really nice about it.
She's good friends with Francis, right? Is that why she was there?
She's good friends with Francis. And, you know, they it was just, it was a good night, too. We had a really good show that night. A really good show.
Well, I think this is going to be great. Paul, it's been a pleasure to have you on here. I mean, if you want to stay and chat, I'll keep you on here. But I know that you need to go get sushi and take it over to the house. So,
we can chat for another 5 minutes.
All right, okay. Buddy.
My girlfriend's trying on her new dress for the premiere. So we have a couple of minutes.
Boobie. I love that. So, I mean, your schedule's been quite busy also, though, Paul. I mean, I'm taking a look at your IMDb page now, and it looks like you probably don't sleep a whole lot.
No, he doesn't.
Well, you know, I do learn lines slowly, so it takes me forever. I don't sleep a lot, I'm not eating or planting flowers and learning lines, so that's what I do.
You're a very humble man.
That was a good one, Paul. A good one. He actually doesn't. He actually does learn his lines rather quickly. He changes them, but he learns them.
Looking at his resume here, I have a feeling he probably learns his lines very quickly. Otherwise, he wouldn't be working as much as he is. But, Paul, out of everything you've been doing the last couple of years, do you have a favorite project that you've worked on?
I don't really. I mean, they get better and better, I guess. But, each one has its own, sometimes its own, their own little, you know, gem part of it, their own little sparkling gem. Obviously, working with Martin Scorsese, who directed the pilot of Vinyl, was probably the highlight of my life. I was, a nervous wreck just meeting him. And you're like in the King's Castle. Everything is, Marty's in the car. He's on his way. He's pulled up the hotel. He's on the steps. He walked 6 steps. He's in the elevator. He just got out of the elevator. Marty. 14,000 people on walkie-talkies the whole day. Marty's not feeling well. Marty, get him an aspirin. Marty, need some water. Marty, you know. So that was exciting. And then, of course, here he walks in, and then you're being directed by him, and it was a thrill. That was definitely one of the greatest experiences. But I just did a little movie with John Larroquette, which was exciting. You know, we had a wonderful time. I generally have a really great time doing these projects, and lately more and more the roles are getting.
And True Detective, buddy, that was a
True Detective.
A gem.
That was great. That was great working with McConaughey.
Yeah.
And Woody Harrelson. So that was great. You know, they're all special to me.
So what do you learn as an actor at this stage of the game when you've done so many different roles over the course of the years? What do you do to keep whatever it is that you
do? I learn my lines.
Okay.
I learn my lines.
Yeah,
What do I learn to keep? I'm sorry, I cut you off. To be fresh?
No, it's just like, how do you keep it fresh for yourself? So, you know, you're going into everything going, you know, I'm enthusiastic, I'm excited about this, not, okay, I'm playing this type of role again, or I'm doing this. So when you go into your auditions or casting agents, you know, they're like, okay, you know, Ben knocked it out of the park. I can't believe, you know, he's, you know, our first choice. We're so excited to have him here, and he's got the job.
Well, each time you do it, the words are different, and that's what keeps it fresh. I mean, there's a new, and hopefully they're great words, you know. So it's kind of like, I think of a painter, sort of. I'm just thinking of this, you know, you hit a canvas, you've painted a 1,000 paintings, but each one is the same paint, the same brushes, but you get to do this new image. And that keeps you alive, you know. Getting the job is always exciting, getting that call. Sometimes it's downhill from there, but getting that phone call that you want it, whether it was offered to you or you had to go in and win it, you know, and audition for it and beating out, you know, 40 other guys or whatever it took. So that's always exciting. And this, you know, it's the job. You go to work, but I'm learning lines now for a play. I'm going to do a play. Gary, I'm doing a play at the Actors Studio in New York. Do you know about this? I don't know
if you're telling me now, though.
Lyle Kessler, who wrote Orphans, which was on Broadway last year, Revival, from many years ago, has a new play, and we're premiering it as a sort of a private production at the Actors Studio in New York, and I'm starting to learn lines with that. And the writing, the role is so wonderful and so exciting. So here is just a new, fresh painting that I'm working on with the new words and the new nuances, and I'm finding, you know, the flavor and how to do it. It's just, that's what it, you know, it's the job, but it's I guess it's the role. It's, you know, it keeps it fresh. You get excited.
Is that,
to just
that's not the one that David
it.
Did at the Elephant, is it? I mean, at the Lillian?
No, that's another
good
new one. This is another one. Yeah.
Cool. Another one. Whatever.
Yeah.
Well, Al Kessler is a wonderful writer. Orphans was one of the premier plays of American theater, period.
Yeah. It was
one
huge
of the premier plays of American theater. He is one of the renowned playwrights. So he will have a great voice with Paul. Paul will take his stuff and interpret it in a way that he probably isn't even expecting. So that's what I learned with my friend.
Try to get laughs. Yeah. Try to get him to laugh.
Gotta laugh.
Gotta laugh. And everybody, it's been Paul Ben Victor. He is starring in the new HBO series called Vinyl in 2016. It looks like a 10-episode run plus a pilot, so we're going to see those debuting in February. What else should we know about Vinyl?
Well, it stars Bobby Cannavale from Boardwalk Empire, and Olivia Wilde is in it. I said that right. Some wonderful actors. Mick Jagger's son is in it. I can't remember all the names at the moment, but there's J.C. McKenzie, an old friend of mine, is in it. And the director is a phenomenal. It's just the cream of the crop when you're working at HBO. They just, everybody's the best. Terrence Winter is the creator and writer.
Oh, my God.
Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah. And
Wolf
The Sopranos, right?
I don't know. No, I don't think he was part of
Terrence Winter, you know, wasn't The Sopranos? I thought he was.
He was Boardwalk. He may have been, and I don't watch enough TV to know. I didn't really watch The Sopranos. But,
well, you can't watch it if you're on it.
But he's the creator with Scorsese. It's just, you know, an incredible group of people. There's like a lot of Oscar winners, you know, dressing you and making you up, and it's just chock full of talent. So it's a great place to work. So that's exciting. And you're going to be hearing a lot of old school rock and roll and wonderful guest appearances from the old stars. I mean, you know, not the real ones, but, you know, there is a scene with, I think, Elvis appears and David Bowie shows up, you know, so there's a wonderful
cast
of characters. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it. I haven't seen a frame, so I have no. I'm just going to be just as surprised as everybody else. We're really excited about it.
Awesome. Well, Paul, thank you very much for calling in. This is a real treat to have you be part of the show. If I can ever have you back again, and we'll promote anything you want, the door's always open to you.
All right, maybe we'll do it again before we premiere on February. So this
right on,
great.
Let's do it.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Paul. Have a great
thanks
night.
Thanks for having
thanks,
me.
Buddy.
Thanks,
buddy. Enjoy, kiddo. I'll talk to you later.
All right, folks.
Okay, bye, baby.
So, Gary, getting back to American Theater Channel, do we have an idea of what kind of a cost is involved, what we're expecting from a subscription standpoint, that type of thing yet?
Well, we don't know that yet. We're just about to get into those waters. We're about to, you know, delve into those waters. But it right now it's at the beginning stages of just putting together the economics of one thing. Yeah, the economics of it. But it's also content. We're now amassing content because that's going to be our primary focus, is to have the best that we can put up in front of the country and the world.
What kind of a library or backlog do you need to be able to put something on? Is this going to be something that's going to be 24/7? Is it going to be like on demand? Do you have ideas?
Well,
on how
it'll be both. It'll be 24/7 and it'll be on demand and it'll be live. And that's the exciting part, is that we'll have nights that it's just what you see is what you get. It's an episode of 24.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there will be anthologies. We have an anthology called Chelsea. I had done a slate of plays at the Hudson Theater way back, and they were called Hudson Shorts, and there was 25 plays. And at the time, CAA came to the theater and said, "What can you do with all these plays?" And I said, "Well, we can put together an anthology and just sort of link them together through someone." And we took these plays, and it's anything from, you know, a bunch of guys drinking, you know, a bunch of winos in an alley, and a bunch of architects, you know, arguing with this Indian chief about building on their land, and a couple of veterans trying to wash your windows in the street, and a guy doing a confession at a church, and all these plays linked together through one person, which is a postman, a mailman, and wherever he puts in the letter is what play starts, and it's called Chelsea. The name of the anthology is called Chelsea. Thank you. It was written by myself and somebody called Todd DeBrasini and Valerie Landsberg, who you may know from Fame days.
Sure.
She played Doris in Fame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful and talented. So.
Yes, and Val and I and Todd wrote it. Not present Todd, past Todd wrote it. And it's really, really good. And we're excited about that, because each week it's going to leave off and you're going to have to tune in and see where the story picks up the next week. And we're excited about that one. That's going to be, I think, very different from anybody else. Now, there are a few theater companies doing this. There's a group called Digital Theater out of London and a group called Scenarium out of Brazil, and a new one that popped up in New York called Broadway HD. But our reality programming is what's going to separate us from the other people. You know, we have a pretty extraordinary slate of reality shows. And because reality TV, let's face it, Garrett, is what's happening today. So we thought, why leave it out? Make it part of this. So that's what we're doing. You know, in essence, we're doing theater, but in essence, we're doing anything theater-centric.
And I think I need to be first in line. So if anybody's listening tonight and they want to be first in line to subscribe to American Theater Channel, I'm pushing you out of the way, folks. I'm just telling you, because I'm going to be signing up here and doing this. Because, you know, you said, you know, you probably haven't been to a lot of theater, and I'm like, you're right, I haven't, Gary. And that is same excuse. You know, I'm in Huntington Beach. By the time I get done doing this, you know, getting up to go see a show weeknights is impossible. And, you know, so I can make excuses a mile long. So having American Theater Channel available to me is something that I would be very interested in seeing. So I can't wait until this launches.
Well, thank you so much. And be part of our audience when it happens. You know,
there'll be
a live audience. All this will be shot in L.A. at various theaters. And be part of our live audience, gang who's listening. Please come in and be part of those evenings and see it live, because we're shooting it in real time. There's no edits. There's no nothing. If somebody goes up on a line, that's going to be in it, you know. So that's the exciting part. I have a little news flash here, Garrett. Paul
Please.
Ben Victor says, forgot to mention Ray Romano and Andrew Dice Clay in vinyl.
Oh, my gosh. We got everybody on that show.
He just texted me that. And you got to think of Andrew Dice Clay and Ray Romano. These are two guys that could get you in trouble in an evening.
Well, I think Andrew Dice Clay's done a great job of reinventing himself over the last couple of years. So
he's
done
an incredible job. I think he's one of the most talented comics of our era.
Yeah.
You know, brilliant. I mean, what this guy did. And I'm sorry?
So I said just kudos to him. Hey, yeah. Gary, real quick, we've got about 2 minutes left before we're going to get things wrapped up here. So,
okay.
And I feel like I could go on for another hour with you, but we don't have that time tonight.
Well,
how would you like people to connect with you on social media for American Theater Channel or with you?
Just go directly to americantheaterchannel.com, and you can sign up. There's a sign-up link. And just push it, put in your name, put in your address, and you will hear about coming events and what's going on. And when you see the website, Todd, present Todd, not past Todd, present Todd created the website, and it's pretty stunning to watch.
It's visually
pretty beautiful.
Beautiful.
And yeah, there is the shout outs are probably endless that I can say, the people that have brought it, but my nephew Craig has been my greatest soldier. And is definitely one of the generals of this, and he has been by my side, he and my brother, and have been by my side since I mentioned this, and it means a great deal to me. And Mike Rosen is one of the other ones that was one of the creators of this, and Donna Hyams. So there, I got it out. I wanted to get it out. Todd Erickson, Michael Rosen, Donna Hyams, Craig Blumsack, William Blumsack. And we know about Harry and Jackie, so I think I've covered it.
You've covered it. Okay, now my last question of the night, then I'm going to let you go. If you knew then what you know now, what would be one thing that you would change in your life?
I'd be a doctor.
Okay. I'm going to send you back to vet school for that one.
I would have been a veterinarian. This is a rough – no, I don't think I'd change anything, Garrett. To tell you the truth, I don't think I'd change anything. You know, it's been a stumble fall and get the bruises bandaged, and, you know, it's a rough run that we have in theater. It's a rough run. You got to love it to do it. And we're here to change the theater paradigm, you know, and bring it to a new place. I think people are ready now to see it online, and that will bring them back to the seats.
I can't wait. I think this is
it's the same as MTV. MTV,
yeah.
It happened with MTV. The Rockers said, no, 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 they'll never come to our concerts. They went from playing 5,000 seats to 65,000 seats.
But you can say that about football. No, 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 don't put it on TV. You'll never fill the stadium.
Anything.
Yeah.
You are actually a better example.
Yeah.
It's actually a better example. I'm going to steal that now.
Yeah, well, you see it on TV. It makes you want to go. So
yep.
I think, you know, create that
yep.
demand, because if they don't, if it's out of sight, it's out of mind, and you're
yep.
just going to have a whole new generation of people coming to the theater and making it a special night. So Gary Blumsack
yep.
with American Theater Channel, thank you very much for being here. Happy holidays
you, Garrett.
To you. And
oh,
anything else I can do for you now in the future, you come back. We will hang out, and I want to go split that leaf of quinoa with you.
We will split of we will go search for water and split a leaf.
We're going to split a leaf. There we go. Have a great night.
Thank you, Garrett. You too.
Thank you. Take care.
Be well. Bye.
Be well. Everybody else, I'm going to leave you with just a little hint of Guess What? It's Christmas Time. If you'd like to find out more about this special offer, go to my website. There's a link for you at the bottom. Just click Special Offers for Garrett's Music here. Click that, and we will see you live Wednesday morning with Rebecca Fisk.
You might not think it's Christmas with the sunshine in the trees. You might not even think of Santa Claus with his dogs down by the beach. Oh, their tails, they are a-wagging, wagging here to there. And the joyous sounds of barking without care. Bathed and clipped with bells and bows, how they love to lick your nose. And old Saint Nicky knew.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.